It's Wednesday, January 8th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 326 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 34 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
And this is John.
All right. So you guys are probably noticing that one, there's only three hosts, and two of them, which would normally be local, are remote. That's because Fear the Boot is not immune to the weather conditions that are sweeping across the U.S. right now. So John is in Jeff City. Chad is here locally, but not like literally locally in the room. It's just the road conditions are rather treacherous throughout the city right now. So
locally is a quote unquote with Dan. As we've said before, I'm sure the St. Louis area is quite wide and distributed. And even when we are all in St. Louis, we're a good hour's worth of travel distance away from one another. Yeah. So there is that.
And there's a lot of refreeze and snowpack and ice and such on the road. So we elected just to keep it safe and have everyone stay home. But we still wanted to bring you some kind of content this week rather than let the feed go cold. So here we are. All right. First off, I've got one announcement, which is right now they are doing sign up. By they, I mean our forum community is doing sign up for a Blood Bowl League. And you can play this using either of the two most recent editions of the Blood Bowl video game. If you want to know exactly which editions those are, then I will put a link in the show notes to where you can go and ask questions. And they are running two leagues. One is a beginner's league, so if you've never played Blood Bowl before, or you're like me and you absolutely suck at it, there is a league.
Everybody sucks at Blood Bowl. It's not a difficult game to play. It is a brutal game to play.
Well, see, I don't think that's
very unforgiving.
Because when I played in a Blood Bowl league with Fear the Boot once before, out of like 12 matches, I lost, I think, like 10 of them, and I didn't just lose them. I mean, I was annihilated. I mean, this was seriously like the Dream Team versus South Korea, annihilated. And in the two that I did okay in, it was only because I was playing against other teams that had equally abysmal track records. So there are definitely people who know how to play this game, but these folks are kind enough. They have put them into their own league. So if you're an expert at the game, they've got people ready to challenge you as well. I will put a link to both of these leagues in the show notes. If you're interested in playing in these leagues and have that game, then please stop by, say hi to these guys. They're a great bunch of people, and they have a lot of fun doing it. And I don't know.
Aren't they in like their eighth season or something?
Sixth season, I think. I have not been following the various iterations of the game.
No,
Nuffle is now this big thing.
It's season five.
Season five.
The
okay.
main league is in season five. The big boot league.
The big boot, yeah, which is experienced players.
And then the little boot league, which is the newer players, is in season two.
Yeah, so. And they're very helpful folks. They've got all the instructions on there. So if you're interested in joining it, be sure to give it a try. I might even hop in on this season. I don't know. I got to figure out how my schedule's going to look because I've got a bunch of projects at the start of this year. But let's move from that into a gaming topic. I've got another announcement, but I want to save it till the end of the show because I think it'll make a little bit more sense depending on how many topics we're able to get through here. When we were preparing to record this show, usually we have a pre-recording dinner and chat. Well, we're all remote, so we were all kind of doing our own things in our own houses. And Chad, you were playing a game called Smite.
Yes, I am playing a game called Smite. It is a MOBA, was that multiplayer online battle arena or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, there's no plot, there's no story. I mean, there's a background to it.
It's like League of Legends. You grab your characters, you go out into a multiplayer arena, and either in teams or individually, you beat the crap out of each other, and one or more people win.
Yeah, you get to the goal or the flag, or in this case, a Minotaur at the end and beat that up. And then there you go. And I am having a ton of fun with it. Now, we're not doing any kind of league or team with it or anything. It's just a couple of us are screwing around. We got a couple of booters playing, but it's not top down. It's like a 3D over the shoulder thing. Fun game. But anyway, enough making money for them. I learned something, not so much from that game, but that game really cemented it for me, is that there's this concept of communities within video games. And to some people, this is going to sound really, really, really super obvious, duh. And then to others, it'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? As video games progress, like from where we played it in the 80s and in the 90s, video games become more and more online, which means that you're just not sharing scores and leaderboards, or you're just not getting together and talking about a video game on a forum or something, but you are playing with other people.
Yes.
And many of those, it's not like, hey, Dan, let's you and I play around it, play some Civ, and then that's online. But playing with strangers, with people that you don't know.
Yes.
And
that has changed radically, because when I first started doing multiplayer gaming, it was, hey, Mike, I'm going to come over to your house, bring my computer and a null modem cable, and we'll spend the first 4 hours trying to get that to work. And then the next 4 hours playing Total Annihilation or who knows what. We had a whole list of games, Crush, Kill, and Destroy 2, which was a great game. I really wish they'd make a third. But
that had not died entirely by the time I came onto the PC gaming for realsies scene. Chad, you and I, of course, had several LAN parties 10 years ago. Plus, at this point, I don't remember what we played. We had some long Civ 2 games. Yeah. Old Team Fortress, that kind of thing. But
we played X-Wing TIE Fighter.
Oh yeah. But back in the day, your online gaming community was your friends from work.
Precisely. Yeah. And you guys had real relationships, and based on those relationships, you had a good time. You weren't going to sit there and trash talk each other in a genuinely offensive way. You probably, I mean, you probably had a preferred play style. For example, Mike and I tended to play cooperatively against the computer. You know, when I have played with like John and such, it's more competitive. But as you move forward in time, you start to see games like Ultima Online, EverQuest, Warcraft 2, Diablo. Now, all of a sudden, you start getting these large communities of strangers, and there definitely seems to be an emergent culture that builds up just, I don't know if it's birds of a feather. I don't know what causes this, but each game seems to have its own distinct culture to it.
Yeah, and they all have the sort of flavors. If the community is big enough, there's even flavors of communities within the communities. You take something like World of Warcraft. I mean, you had community of role players who got on to like a couple of role play servers, talked on the role play forums, and they were kind of weird, strange community. I interacted with them a little bit. You had your PvPers, which were like hard asses and stuff, and you had your raid guys and whatnot, and you had these communities within communities that communicated with each other. I think the reason why I brought up Smite and MOBAs is because MOBAs have a real
League of Legends problem?
Yes, they have a real issue. You hear stories about, like, I guess the Xbox community, you know, Xbox kids, and they, you know, they yell racist slurs at each other, and they yell at each other, and are generally nasty to each other. Take that times a million.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's not kept up with this, and I'll see if I can track down the story and put it in the show notes, but League of Legends got so bad that the people who make the game had to hire professional sociologists and psychologists to come in and help them socially re-engineer the community.
Yeah.
Because it was so offensive. It was so vitriolic. And I can see it's even like, let's talk within the Xbox. You sit in a Call of Duty lounge, it's a very, very different place than sitting in, say, a Mass Effect 3 lounge. Before we get too deep into this, something that I kind of want to stress here is while a lot of what we're going to talk about is video games, I have seen the same thing within role-playing games or board games. Because, you know, look, a certain type of game is going to attract a certain kind of person. And if you go to a Pathfinder organized play game, you're going to run into a certain kind of individual. No, they're not all the same. Not everybody fits the stereotype. I'm not trying to oversimplify. But what I am saying is there's going to be a trend to that community. You go to a Magic the Gathering tournament, there's going to be a certain kind of trend to that community. And one of the things that I have noticed is I find myself, when I play those multiplayer games, assuming I cannot limit myself to where I'm only playing with people I know, which is something that I've been able to do with games like Warframe, for example, which is a video game, is...
But you failed to do a true dungeon, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, but I've picked my games based on the community interactions, based on the kind of community that I run into. And one of the examples that I was giving is, yes, you're going to run into your bad apples anywhere you go. But I've seen a stark difference in playing Final Fantasy XIV between that community and the WoW community. I'm not saying either community was absolutely rotten or absolutely perfect, but there is a level of peace and decency and maturity that seems to exist, at least within the people that I've interacted with in Final Fantasy XIV, that was not there in WoW. Yes, you get the jerks who are screaming and yelling and being idiots, but they're not nearly as common or as vocal as they were in the average WoW pug.
We're talking the broad, anonymous community here. We're not talking about, well, I was in a guild in WoW and we had barbecues and we rented pavilions in the park and everybody was really
nice. Which we did.
No, Chad, I am talking about your guild right now.
That's
gentle
right.
Listener. You speak for yourself with your mealy mouth disclaimers.
But the interesting thing about Smite is I never got into a MOBA because, A, it didn't really interest me all that much, and the gameplay itself, and the community. I mean, that was the big thing, is because you're playing cooperatively on a team against a group of other people, it's like if you screw up, you get yelled at. If you're winning but not winning enough, you get yelled at. If it's just like if you're not playing your individual character the way they think that you should be playing, you get yelled at. Now, and that's true of MOBAs in general, but I have a friend, his name's Chuck, and we play Smite together quite a bit. And he convinced me to play Smite. He really enjoyed it. And I watched some videos. I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. And I was joking with him. I'm like, you know, we played a couple rounds yet. I'm like, you know, I really don't feel like I've gotten the MOBA experience because no one's called me a racial slur yet. and we were joking about that. It's like, yeah, I've been yelled at a couple of times and people have tried to troll me, but you know, those are individuals.
Yeah.
And it's not, you don't get that vibe from the community.
Right. You know, so. And I saw something different in World of Tanks.
Yeah.
World of Tanks, at the start of the match, people said, you know, GLHF or whatever, which is an abbreviation for good luck, have fun. People tried to keep that kind of sort of, you know, peace and esteem going. I saw that somewhat in MechWarrior Online. It wasn't quite as strong.
It was a pretty young community, too.
Yeah, but I certainly have played other games where, yeah, no matter what I do, it's wrong. People don't like how I'm playing my character. People are screaming at me over every choice I make, even though they have no idea what the context was of why I made that choice.
Who wants to subject themselves to that?
Precisely.
That flavors the entire experience of the game. It could take a great game and make it a terrible game to me.
I'm fine with subjecting myself to that if I can turn around and kill the person who's running his mouth. That's the problem with this team-defined MOBAs and all this happy-dappy crap that's come out in the last 15 years.
How are MOBAs happy-dappy? I mean, that's...
They're happy-dappy because if you have the lane next to your teammate who's all mad and sad and doesn't doing it right, you can't kill him and take his halberd and then put it to better use. It's a restrictive environment.
The problem is you don't like teamwork.
I love teamwork. I don't like constraints upon player agency and freedom of operation.
Wow.
I love teamwork. I play Counter-Strike all the time. It's 5-on-5. I usually have at least some pugs, not always, because I like teamwork with people I know and trust better than randoms. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I found as well?
That's part of the game.
The setup of the game also does seem to help. If you can reduce the level of emotion that's being put in the game. For example, I did a little bit of StarCraft II multiplayer, but I was specifically playing games that were cooperative against the computer. And so I was playing with strangers. These were not people I knew. I was playing with complete strangers. But we would be sitting there throughout the map, and everybody was perfectly friendly, and we were all laughing about it. If somebody screwed up, it was funny, because nobody really came into that with that really strong competitive edge. Now, let me take this over.
Is that the root of your fetishization of playing team games against computers and not against real people? Is that they tend to be less mean, friend and foe alike?
Yes, straight up. Really? I will tell you in no uncertain terms.
I've never understood it. I've known it for years. You've been telling it to me for years. Okay, I guess it makes sense now.
I mean, to be really blunt here, and I'm not going to dig into the soap opera of my life, at least not on this show, maybe some future bedtime story show, but The point is that throughout my life, I have had to deal with a lot of very stressful social interactions. You know, there's been a lot of emotional...
There's a lot of sexual tension between Dan and I.
So. Yeah, that true. That's true. Not everyone understands.
I don't think it's tension anymore if it's so frequently consummated.
But the point being, okay, I realize that somebody in who knows where, America or not even this country or whatever, screaming at me over the way I played my character in a video game or poning my ass in an RTS does not really matter. But the fact is that from a social standpoint, because of the things that I've been through in my life and the way that I'm wired, I do not want that level of stress. I do not want that level of angst. It really bothers me on a level. And so
you want the tension and fun of the game and the game mechanic, but you don't want the social stress of social situations.
Yeah, bingo. I don't want to sit there and be screamed at about the way I played.
And dare I suggest, you probably don't want the honest-to-God competition of a head-to-head ELO system where you lose half the time. That's probably stressful to you, as it is to most people.
Well,
and
you know, not really.
To me.
Not really. Because here's the thing. Now, when I go into a competitive game, like most people, yeah, my adrenaline gets pumping. I'm working my hardest. I want to win. And even with my old buddies where we'd do LAN parties and such, there were times that there were enough of us that we would do group on group play. It was still all friends, but we would do group on group play. And like most people, yeah, my adrenaline gets going. I want to win. But losing didn't bother me. It was more the way that I was being treated along the way. You know, there weren't people screaming at me about how I'm a nub and I'm an idiot and I'm an N-bomb and I'm this and I'm that and I'm, you know, whatever other words you want to throw in there. That wasn't going on. We were having a good time. You know, John, there was that time that I played a three-way match of Command & Conquer, I think it was three, against you and a guy we used to hang out with. And it was fine because, yes, it was highly competitive. And I did win that game, but that's really not the point. Even if I lost, it wasn't like you guys are going to be sitting there screaming at me the whole way through. Let me kind of bring this in to two thoughts here. And I'm going to try and draw both of these to both the role playing and the video game world. Because, look, human socialization is human socialization. And I do realize that the anonymity and distance of the internet changes some things, but it doesn't change everything. And I found there are two ways, well, I guess really three. One is to control who you're playing with, because that right there, you know, John, you know, look, one, you're not an immature jerk. You and I are not going to sit there and scream and yell at each other. And if we do, it's in good fun, whatever. OK, you know, we're not seriously getting up in each other's grill. There's social context to it. Same thing when I play a lot of competitive games, you know, tabletop video games, whatever. I would much rather play if I'm going to play competitively against somebody I know. The second situation or the second option is you can pick a game and set the tone for it. Once again, World of Tanks, everyone's saying good luck, have fun. That little thing, that right there, spins the culture in a certain direction. Back when I used to play Battletech, the tabletop game, no video game here, I used to play Battletech competitively. At the start of every match, I would shake hands with the person or persons I was playing against. I would socialize with them for a little bit. I would get to be, I don't want to say close friends, but positive acquaintances with them. And it set the tone of the match that was friendly. If they landed a good hit on me, I'd say, wow, you know, and I laugh about it, man. You just really nailed me right there. I didn't have this level of angst. I set a tone to the game. The third option, and this is one that we were talking about prior to recording, is you can find games as competitive as they are where there really isn't any social interaction. Examples of this within the video game world, playing Transformers Fall of Cybertron. It was team on team, but you kind of knew what you're supposed to do. Nobody really had their mics on. You weren't getting screamed at and called offensive names, but you really weren't talking to anybody either. Same thing with Mass Effect 3's multiplayer. I've seen this in board games. Chad, help me out here. There's multiple board games that you can play in a complete social vacuum. I'm just blanking on the titles now.
But like competitive or non-competitive co-op games or by yourself?
No, competitive games. Like deck building games and such, where it's like you don't talk to each other.
Oh, Dominion.
Dominion's one of those where you don't even have to talk to the other person. You just sit there, build the deck. I mean, you can never even look at the other person. You just take your turns, and eventually one of you throws down a hand and says, I win.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot of people frothing right now because Dominion is very, very popular, and people love it. But yeah, that was a game where...
And it's not necessarily a bad game. I'm not bagging it as a game.
Sure, it's great, but yeah, when I played it, it was, you know, we had a table filled with people, and we were looking down at our cards, and it was like shuffle cards, move cards around, pull cards, do the cards. And it was like you saw the tops of everyone's heads and you were constantly looking down. It was like manipulate cards. And then 20 minutes later, somebody threw a card down and said, right. I win.
And I can compare that to a game. Let's take even a competitive one. I won't use a cooperative one. Let's take a competitive one. Puerto Rico. Now, granted, it doesn't force a huge amount of socialization, but because of the mayoral roles or the governor roles or whatever exactly it's called, I don't have the game in front of me, it still forced you to do some amount of socialization. Formula Day, same thing. Because of the way that you're racing the cars and what you're doing, you're getting in each other's face. You know, you're causing problems for each other. My first game of Formula Day, I was winning until my brother-in-law decided to putter along at some low speed and get in front of me, forcing me to four-wheel lock up and downshift like three gears. My transmission's like a quarter mile behind me on the track and destroyed my car.
That happens in real life.
Yeah, it does.
You should go fast and drift behind him, then you can go even faster.
Yeah.
But
it works in that game.
What do you guys think about games like that? Do you feel that eliminating that social interaction invalidates the purpose of play, or is the game and I realize everyone's going to have their own answer, so I'm asking for opinions here. There is no, you know, absolute here. Well, we're Fear the Boots, or but you know, that aside,
it doesn't matter if it's a board game or a video game. If there is no social interaction, whether it's an in your face, you know, smack talk, or a, you know, cooperative, hey, we can do it, let's go team, then I don't see a reason to play with other people. You know, I'll just play a single player game and be just fine, be completely happy with that, be just fine. But if there's no real interaction, then I don't really understand the point of it. I used to belong, I guess, to the St. Louis board game meetup group, you know, with meetup.com. There's a very, very active board game scene community here in St. Louis. And they are all over town and they're constantly having events. And it was really fun to get into. And you didn't even have to bring any of your own board games. And so I'm like, hey, this is great. You know, I love meeting new people. I love board games. I love socializing. And it was great. And their community they were very friendly and they were very helpful. They were not trying to slit your throat when you played, but it was very much about the game, and it was very much about each individual trying their damnedest to win, not in a bad way. You know, I mean, I think there's too many examples of somebody saying that it's like, oh, he was trying his best to win and he was just screwing everybody over. No, it wasn't like that. Nobody was trying to slit each other's throats over a board game, but it was a very competitive atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know, and that's cool, but I went into it with the thought of I get to be social and I get to, you know, make new friends and I get to hang out and I get it's a very relaxed thing. And that's not what the community is there for.
Right.
That wasn't its purpose. And the problem is not the community. The problem was with me.
Yeah.
And so that's eventually why I stopped going.
And once again, this is something where the individual players can choose to set a tone. At Fear the Con every year, you know, I treat the wing night like a wedding reception. I go to every table, try to talk to every person. It's not even in the context of a game, but it sets a tone. If I look 2 years back to when we had the blood name competition run by Chris Ings and his wife, when I sat down at each game, I did not get all up in anybody's grill. I didn't take it seriously. I didn't throw any temper tantrums. I was social and cordial with my opponent. I lost in the first match. And after that first match was over, I stood up and I congratulated my opponent and I told him about all the things that he did right in the course of the match and the things that I did wrong. It wasn't, you know, me getting up in his face. And I've seen this in video games as well, where I'm playing a game and it's clear I'm new to the game or I don't really know all the min-max strategies. You know, I haven't watched all the expert videos on YouTube or whatever, and I'll play against somebody, and somebody, instead of being a dick to me, says, hey, why don't you and me go into a match? I want to show you some things. And they pull me aside, and they help me out. You know, they kind of like maybe run co-op with me or maybe run competitive with me, but they kind of try to show me how the game works. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to run something into your base. Don't kill it. And I just need to see what you're doing. And, you know, then they can walk me through it. And same thing in MMOs. I've had people in MMOs say, hey, why don't you try doing this, this, and this, or this rotation or something, and you'll get something better out of it. You know what? Even in a board game where no social interaction is required, none whatsoever, you can still choose to talk to the other person about something. You know, let's look at Warframe. This was a video game. There are times that Warframe requires teamwork. There's a lot of the areas you can get through without saying a word to each other about the game.
Right.
But Chad, you and I, we used to run, it was you, me, we used to run with Chuck, we ran with Amanda, you know, we ran with a bunch of people. And we would just be talking about anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Warframe is just what so happened to be what we were doing while we talked.
Yeah, and some people describe some games as, you know, it's really just a chat room with a game mechanic somewhere buried in there, but it's primarily a chat room. And, you know, as much as I talk about the need for social interaction and the need, my desire for hanging out, having fun with people, there has to be a game under there. There has to be a fun, right, interesting game.
Agreed.
If it's just a chat room and the game is just kind of lame, you know, we have Skype. We can just...
Right. And these solitaire games all strike me that way. Your Mass Effect 3 and then the other stuff where you fight the computer and just hang out and chat. And that's cool, but I really would like a more in-depth... level of gameplay out of my games. It's the same reason I don't like even online cooperative or competitive games that are more inclined to tickle my fancy, but are so simple and, I don't know, robotic, even extending toward the player,
right,
that you don't need to talk to beat them. Case in point, WoW Dungeons 2014 versus WoW Dungeons 2004. I haven't played in a couple of years, but when I left it, and it had been this way for several years, you were not coordinating, you didn't care who sheeped and sapped, so on and so on and so forth.
Oh, you didn't sheep, you didn't sap.
Right, it's just so easy that you don't have to talk,
it was just
and
AOE.
Therefore you don't need strategy, and therefore it's boring, and all you're doing is hitting the button over and over until one random iteration gives you a new pellet.
I call that points going up, and
yes,
it's these games where the entire reason for playing is, like you said, is the pellet. It's very Pavlovian,
right,
where you put in a phenomenal amount of effort, and for that you get a point. And your point goes up. Then you put in a phenomenal amount more effort to get the next point. And then it's just this treadmill, this cycle that's
still
on and on.
John, let me give you some counterexamples here to demonstrate my psyche surrounding these games. There are two games that we played electronically, but were originally board games. Now, you were not in one of them, but you were in the other. So when I say we, I mean we as like the hosting group or circle of friends. The first was Diplomacy. The second was Succession Wars. Now, these were, once again, both played electronically, but these were originally board games.
Super complicated games that require massive amount of social interaction and strategy, if indeed those two things can even be distinguished in Diplomacy and Innersphere, whatever the hell it is, Succession Wars.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Right. But the point being, these are both games that are played competitively. But look at how the gameplay went down. At least on my side, in both of those games, there wasn't a huge amount of backstabbing. There certainly was not people screaming at me, insulting me, telling me how I'm playing the game wrong, belittling me, you know, basically being schoolyard bullies through the internet. You know, even when somebody was losing, they might be frustrated because obviously everybody plays a game and wants to win. But
are you sure about that?
You know, look at Pat and his kids.
I don't recall you wanting to win that Succession Wars game. You seemed content to sacrifice any real prospect of coming out ahead on the altar of never making anyone mad and never executing any surprise attacks.
That is not the... No, keep in mind, I took over half of House Liao.
After he attacked you.
Yeah, but the point being, well, there's another thing there, and this would be a huge side tangent, which is that I tend to, in any form of strategy game, I tend to play the long game. I tend to basically build up and align to a point where by the time I move, and this was actually how I won the one and only competitive RTS game I played against you, was while you and Mike were kind of hashing it out, I was observing you guys building defenses to counter your exact strategies,
right.
And then came out of my fortress as
but
really
you don't
this...
do that every time. I mean,
no,
you
no, no,
you're
enough.
In your own head. I'm not in your head. You can tell me I'm wrong and I'll believe you. But what I recall in the moment and after the moment was that you had absolutely no intention of amassing a stockpile and betraying me in the Inner Sphere game and ultimately winning. Am I wrong?
Betraying you? No, I did have a massive army in and around Chris, and I also had captured, I believe, all but one of his jump ships, or maybe all of his jump ships.
Right.
So,
he had been defanged. I don't even know how he got in the side point, other
right,
than
okay,
by
but the,
challenging your remark that
the,
I don't
the
think
point
you
being
that
though, the point being though, all right, let's say we had played these as board games because they could have been board games because they are board games.
Yes,
these were games that did not distress me because the community I was playing with in this case was de-escalated. It was social, but it was social in a positive way. These were not people smack talking, screaming, throwing temper tantrums, you know, whatever. And I think this is the exact kind of thing that you have to look for in a board gaming or a role playing community. Chad remembers this. We used to play Battletech competitively against a group that used to hang out at one of the local gaming shops that's been closed down for years. And these guys, I mean, look, I'm just going to call a spade here. I mean, these guys were socially backwards fat beards. I'm not saying they were bad people.
Now,
but
Dan, they didn't actually have beards.
Yeah, actually, some of them did.
Everything else is true, but
but the point being that, I mean, yeah, these guys were real grognards. They're hardcore war gamers. You know, they took the games a little bit more seriously, and there kind of came some points where if it was not for the fact we were repeatedly stomping them because they weren't that good at the game, I think I would have walked away from those situations because the mojo behind those games, it got a little too serious. And I've heard some real horror stories about the 40K community in this regard. You know, I'm sure everyone's mileage is different. And I've got no beef with 40K as a game, but I've heard some real horror stories about the 40K community. I know people that have quit the game over the prevailing community. And that says a lot after you've dropped $2,000 or whatever on setting up your army.
On your first infantry squad.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's where we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I realize, once again, this is not how we usually do shows on Fear the Boot, but, you know, like I said, we're all stranded at home. Weather is what it is, and we just wanted to keep something out there in the feed for you guys. So I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I hope certainly within your own gaming groups, whether that's electronic or board games or role-playing games or whatever, that you're able to find the kind of community that you're looking for and the kind of people that you want to interact with. And as always, have a great week and great games. And for those of you that are in the cold snap areas, be safe. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of Shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.